The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1058. It's a Thursday, the 3rd of May, 2018, and we have got another podcast series we've launched recently called Business Lives. Worth checking out. We're adding to that all the time. So go to voxmarkets.co.uk/businesslives, and it features high-profile guests in the world of business. Worth checking out. All right, on the podcast today, I have George Roach, CEO of Premier African Minerals, PREM, and George explains the sale of their interest in Casa Mining and gives an update on other parts of the business. Also on the podcast, Andrew Knott, CEO of Savanna Petroleum, SAVB ticker, and Andrew explains the one-year extension to their R1, R2 production sharing contract with the government of Niger. And as it is Thursday, Chris Bailey's here from financialorbit.com talking about results or news from bigger companies like Smith & Nephew, Convatec, and Equiniti. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. Worth keeping an eye on that metric. Very important. And I also have the top five most liked RNSs.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me in the podcast right now is George Roach, CEO of Premier African Minerals. That's PREM ticker. George, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks very much indeed. Always good to chat to you.
Now, you're coming on to chat about the sale of interest in Casa Mining. We'll get into the details of that because it's quite intricate, lots of detail in there. But before we do, George, for people listening right now who are not quite familiar with Premier African Minerals, can you explain what the business is all about, please?
Yep, we're in the process of developing a large lithium deposit in Zimbabwe, and we are also the operators of the RHA tungsten mine in Zimbabwe as well.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, so you've agreed the sale of interest in Casa Mining. Take us through the background of this, George, and what happens now.
Yes, of course. I think there's been a little bit of misunderstanding and confusion in the marketplace about this. The history is that Premier invested in CASA during 2017, on the basis of the credibility and the validity and the expectation and future of the project itself. Casa Mining has some very good projects in the DRC. Subsequent to the investment, Casa reached an agreement with ARC, in terms of which ARC purchased a significant block of CASA shares from various of the principals and other in CASA. That was announced and was in the public domain late last year. At the time that the announcement was made, it was also set out that ARC extended the offer to other CASA shareholders to acquire their shares on the same terms and conditions. Those terms and conditions set the price in CASA shares, and it also referred to and confirmed that there was a lock-in that would be applied against new CASA shares issued in exchange, against new ARC shares issued in exchange for CASA shares. Now, Prem was not particularly happy at the pricing at the time. We did not feel that it reflected value in terms of the investment that Prem had made. We also felt that it did not necessarily consider the circumstances and the timing at which Prem had made the investment into CASA. Prem was also unhappy with the lock-in and has approached ARC on many, many occasions in regard to the lock-in. ARC have steadfastly refused to vary the terms and conditions. The final date for acceptance of this offer is in the early part of May. Had Premier not taken up this offer, we would have been left with a minority position in CASA, and it's an unprotected minority position, which could have been further diluted with very little that Premier could have done about it. So at the end of the day, reluctantly, we've had to go ahead and accept this offer. I hope that what I've had to say now will at least clarify some of the circumstances and some of the confusion that seems to have arisen over this.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's that dealt with. I'm sure some people didn't know that. But and are there any other things happening you can talk about at the moment, other parts of the business, George?
Well, yes. We had a discussion just recently. I indicated in that discussion that that we were in quite advanced negotiations, looking at draft term sheets in regard to our Zulu project. And the negotiations are advancing, and there are a number of very attractive alternatives that are under negotiation at the moment. Nothing is done, signed, and sealed yet. If it was, I would have to announce it immediately. And as soon as it is, I'm intent to come straight back to market and let everybody know whatever we have agreed. The other question that I get from time to time is when are we having our AGM? Mm-hmm. Well, our AGM is due pretty soon, I would be very pleased to be able to go to an AGM and have finalized some of these negotiations by the time we get to the AGM. AGM hopefully pretty soon now. Can't give an exact date because we haven't actually published the AGM notice. We'll be able to do it as soon as that is released.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, George, well, listen, thank you for coming on and clarifying that CASA mining deal, because I know some people obviously didn't really understand the background to it anyway. So thanks for that. But before you go, George, one final thing, as always, give us three quick reasons why someone listening right now, though likes the sound of Premier but not following the story, should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, to be quite honest with you, I think reasons 1, 2, and 3 are probably the same, that the Zulu Lithium Project is a very exciting project. We are negotiating some deals which, should they come to fruition, I believe will be very good for Prem. Not finalized yet, but I think that that keeping an eye on Prem in regard to what can happen, particularly with Zulu Lithium, is a pretty good idea at the moment.
Excellent stuff, George. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much indeed, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Knott, CEO of Savannah Petroleum. That's SAVP. Andrew, thanks for joining me again.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've got some news out today, an extension of the R1, R2 production sharing contract, and we'll go into that and explain what that's about in a bit. Before we do, for new investors to the podcast, for people not heard of the company, Andrew, can you just summarise what Savannah Petroleum is all about, please?
Yeah, Savannah is an AIM-listed oil and gas company. We've got strong financial backing from a blue-chip institutional investor base. Our asset base is focused around West Africa. We're in the process of acquiring a series of interests in large producing oil and gas fields in southeast Nigeria, and we're in the process of prosecuting quite a significant drilling campaign in the Republic of Niger, which we announced the first discovery from the first well last week. On a go-forward basis, we've got two other wells which we firmly committed to drilling, which we expect news flow on over the course of the coming months.
Yeah, and so that, as far as you're concerned, it started off well, the campaign to drill these wells here, and it's moving along nicely, is it?
Exactly. Look, it's always encouraging to make a discovery. I think what was particularly encouraging was the geology that we encountered as in the rocks. It was very much in line with what we anticipated pre-drill. In terms of the size of the discovery, we need to flow test it before we'll be giving any guidance, but it's certainly very encouraging from the first well. And then that really feeds into this morning's announcement, whereby we have two production sharing contracts in Niger, one in R1, R2, one in R3, R4. Mm-hmm. R1, R2 is a year older than R3, R4, and the well that we discovered that we made is in the R3 area. And so by having a one-year extension on the R1, R2 contract area, it means that we can focus our drilling, if we so choose, in and around creating a production hub within the R3 area, rather than having to move the rig up to R1 to go and drill wells there. So really, it's very good. I think it shows the support that we have in country, that we've been able to get this extension. And really, it makes, as we make the planning decision on what we're going to do going forward, it simplifies that decision, so we can just focus on what is best, what the best solution is from a technical, commercial, and operational perspective, without any artificial constraints created by a PSC. So, it's very good news. It's very encouraging news.
Yeah. So it's confirmation that everything's going to plan, and you know, it's reassuring for us, sort of shareholders, that you're doing this. But excellent stuff. So, Andrew, one final thing, like you say, everything's in the program is you're happy with, and it's going to plan. But for people listening right now, and they're not following the story, could you give them three quick reasons as to why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please?
Well, I think we're in a unique position, because as an AMOST company, we combine both cash flows when we complete the Seven deal and news flow. So I think cash flow is one important point. I think from a news flow perspective, there's really two sub-points there. You have the drilling campaign in Niger, and then we'll have the updates in terms of how the assets are performing in Nigeria. So I expect us to be generating cash and to be pretty news flow heavy over the course of the coming months and year.
Marvellous stuff. Andrew, good to chat to you. And like I said, you're very busy at the moment, so hopefully we'll get an update in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much, and speak soon.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Masterman, chairman at W Resources. That's WRES ticker. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Great to be on again, Justin.
Now, you've got lots of things going on, and since we last spoke, there's been a couple of bits of news, because there's several projects you have on the go. And in fact, before we go into the news, for people not familiar with W Resources, explain what you're all about there, please, if you could, Michael.
Okay, so W Resources is focused on tungsten mine developments in Spain and Portugal. Our flagship is La Perula, which is in southwest Spain, and we also have the regular tungsten mine development in northern Portugal. In addition to those two great projects, which are both very low cost, we have some very exciting exploration projects. Taroka, which is a tungsten mine south of La Perula. Sao Martino, which is a gold deposit, which we're looking to increase significantly. And Tinoco, which has got two former copper mines that we're looking to make happen.
Okay. Well, let's go into those the drilling programs. You're doing a lot of drilling at the moment. You get Taroka, excuse the pronunciation, and Sao Martino as well. So let's go back to Taroka. Take us through what's happening there, please, Michael.
Okay, well, just at the kickoff, number one priority is across La Perula, and we can touch on that at the end. But we raised $1.5 million the other day to make sure our Portuguese assets, which have a huge amount of upside, are well-funded. So we hit the ground running and drilled 1,500 metres at Taroka. Taroka is a very high-grade tungsten resource south of Regua. So if we find something even small there but high grade, we can build it into the Regua development. We finished the RC drilling. We wanted to let the market know we'd done that, and we'll get some results over the next couple of months on Taroka.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So let's move on then to San Martino, Sao Martino, sorry. So the drilling program, you started there, what's going to be happening there, Michael?
Well, literally hot on the heels of the Taroka program, we moved the rig down to Sao Martino gold deposit in central Portugal. We're drilling 2,000 metres of RC down there. Sao Martino already has a 100,000 ounce resource. This drilling program, together with some previous diamond core drilling we did last year, has the potential to very significantly increase the size of this gold resource. And while we're very much focused on tungsten, we're not going to say no to a nice shallow developable gold property. So the rotary lie detector, as some people like to call a drilling rig, is off and running down at Sao Martino, and that program will be finished May, June, and we'll be looking forward to some results on the gold, and hopefully a fairly significant increase in the gold resource back end of this year.
Yeah, yeah, excellent stuff. And so generally, La Perla and everything else, what's the next big bit of news happening, Michael, milestone you're hoping to achieve?
We're flat out with the engineering. Concrete trucks are going to start rolling at speed, doing all the civil works down at La Perla, and we'll make sure we're posting all those pictures and whatever on Vox. But I think shareholders and investors are going to see significant progress down at La Perla, and that'll only accelerate in particular over the next 2 or 3 months.
Marvellous stuff, Michael. Well, listen, like I said, you've got a lot going on, so hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Before I say goodbye, then, Michael, as always, don't forget, because I nearly did just then, three reasons why someone should add W Resources to their watch list if they're not already following you, please.
Number one, we have funded La Perla and it tungsten mine, and that is going into production with significant earnings in 2019. Number two, we have a great portfolio of tungsten projects, all of which can further increase the overall tungsten production rates of W Resources. And thirdly, we have some great exploration projects in tungsten, copper and gold that provide a lot of nice upside over and above those core projects.
Excellent stuff, Michael. Like I said, good luck going on. Hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Have a nice day. Speak soon.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Justin. Good to talk. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. Are you all right, Chris?
Hello, Justin. Very, very well. Thank you. Very well. Pretty busy, actually. My goodness.
You're just saying.
The world and its mother has reported earnings in the last week or so. And we're still in the midst of it all. But all interesting stuff.
Because you do look around the world pretty much. And I know a lot of the lead comes from America. And they often say after a reporting period whether in the majority, what the percentage of companies that have exceeded or done as expected or done, not exceed or under sort of projected. What's happened? What's the general consensus over there?
Yeah, well, American stocks actually generally have beaten expectations, 70 or 80% have beaten. Now, there's two things you need to know. The first is there's something called an earnings season dance, where basically they lower the expectations a little bit in their chats pre-earnings, then they beat these lowered expectations and they say, look at us, we're so good. And of course, it's a little bit fake and a little bit false. The second aspect is, particularly for this earnings season, you've got a lot of the tax changes and tax reforms coming in. Lower taxes is typically good for earnings, at least for reported earnings, and that's had a bit of a distorting effect. Analysts haven't really factored that fully in or correctly in. So I think a lot of the beats are sort of from those sort of elements. Hence, I wouldn't get overly excited. And you can see that, the US market, it's a bit one step forward, one step back at the moment. Some things doing okay, some things doing less well. So I think the read for us is, it's anarchic out there, which is fine, because actually as stock pickers, as people interested in individual companies, rather than the biggest massive picture, I think that's absolutely fine. Don't buy index funds. Buy individual stocks, or at least look to buy interesting individual stocks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know when you're starting to invest, investment funds are a nice way to edge your way into the water a little bit, because you think they assume they're doing all the research for you. But then you will gravitate towards selecting your own stocks, because like I said, I think aren't sort of hedge funds generally a bit better in a downturn because they're more diversified? Is that the case?
Well, that's their marketing literature talking, undoubtedly. I think the reality is hedge funds, there's much more use of leverage, you know, i.e. borrowing money to buy more shares, you know, not just the money that they've got in their fund. There's much more of that goes on than aggressive sort of shorting or protection of their assets. Mm. So what I've actually found is hedge funds do best when the market goes up because they're geared to it. And funnily enough, when the market goes down, they're not as protective as you think. Oh, okay. So, yeah, my personal view is hedge fund industry, good luck to them. Sometimes fantastic fees. And there are some good managers out there. But broadly speaking, for the average private investor, avoid it like the plague.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Okay, stocks, what are you looking at, Chris?
So let's start with a couple of big themes. There is no bigger theme, I would say, in the sort of the developed advanced world than healthcare. And medical matters, because an aging population, we need more healthcare. You know, that's a pretty logical conclusion to come to. That's why the healthcare and the biotech and the related sectors are kind of interesting. So then makes us always look at things like some of the medical product companies with interest. Smith & Nephew is a pretty well-known name. They're the biggest, certainly in Europe, the biggest artificial hip and knee company. They do a bunch of other stuff in wound management and wound care and related. They have a little update today. And actually, it's not that good. Shares were down 6-7% when I last looked. What they basically said was that sales in their developed countries, in UK and Europe and places like that, were a little bit shabbier than they thought. And as a consequence, they've just edged back their sales growth target for the year. So no great sort of disaster, just showing that, you know, the economies of the West are not exactly firing on all cylinders. They cited a little bit of competition in a couple of places and stuff like that. The reason I'm telling you all this is that Smith & Nephew is a really interesting company. Not only is it in a good theme, as we've just talked about, you know, longer term, but actually it's under activist attack, which obviously has become a really big and pertinent investment theme over recent weeks. You know, you look at something like a Whitbread, for example, or Barclays, indeed, for activist pressure. Elliott Advisors, who are the ones agitating a number of those other companies, Billiton and others, are a shareholder in Smith & Nephew. They want a bit of change. They think the company can sharpen up its act in terms of margins and profit versus some of their global peers. There's a new chief executive coming in, and my feeling is he's going to be obliged, particularly if, you know, the sales side is a little bit shabbier than they thought, to actually take some of their advice. And that tends to be good news for investors over time. So I think this one's interesting. We're coming down towards, again, an interesting technical area. You push the chart back a few years, the sort of the 12 quid, £12.50 area, very interesting spot for Smith & Nephew shares. I've been waiting for that to buy some shares. They're 13 odd quid at the moment. I think we've got a sporting chance they get back down to those interesting levels over the next little while. And I think on a risk reward basis, good theme, activist investor involved, new CEO sort of open to a bit of change. You know, who knows what could happen.
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm just looking. It was gap down today, but 6% down, just above 6%. But yeah, you're right on that £12 levy. If you look back, like you say, and from 2015 all the way through to halfway through 2017, it could not break above that £12 level. And then it did, came back once to retest kind of thing. But then, yeah, so that previous resistance obviously acting as a bit of support there. And it did almost, it moved down to that, spiked down to retest that in fact, this year, in February, but it bounced,
that's right.
Bounced off it. So, yeah, it's
that,
good.
That was the point where Elliott announced that they were investor in the shares. They were a shareholder in the company. And as you see, the shares spiked on that quite correctly. So for me, you put it all into the mixer, you know, about a 12.50 pence flag, I think, is an interesting level to be thinking about this one. And as I say, you never know. I could certainly concoct scenarios where the company gets bid for by some of their large US peers or private equity or something like that. So, you know, we'll have to see. You can't bet on that. All I do know is it's in an interesting area.
Yeah, okay, cool. Anything else, Chris?
Well, on that same space, actually something going, I think, performing performing actually very well and is still, in my opinion, a buy today, is a company called Convatec. Now, this is, I think the ticker is CTEC, and this is a really interesting company because it's not particularly well known. It's a decent size. It's a FTSE 250 stock. And the thing about it is they're in a variety of areas, not particularly dissimilar to Smith & Nephew, wound management and wound care, colostomy bags. Thank goodness I don't need them, but unfortunately lots of people do, and stuff like that. Things which, again, are picking up that thematic of a strategic increase in demand for medical products. This is a really interesting one because I've had a bit of a ropey old time since they floated. They were floated by a bunch of private equity companies, which I know will scare a lot of people, and quite correctly so. But here's the interesting aspect. Private equity is now out. This morning they announced that it's a company called Nordic Capital have sold their last shareholding, and they placed the stock with institutional investors at 220 pence. What I find really interesting is that the stock is trading above the placing price, which to me actually is a sign that actually there's growing faith and strength in this company. I had a little update yesterday, which was good, showed good progress, sensible sort of insights onto all their key areas. Bottom line is, I think this company is actually going places. It's not a well-known name. I think they've gone through some difficulty in terms of things like some of their production facilities and whatever. They've learned a lot from their first couple of years on the stock market. And bottom line is, I think here, they're picking up some support in the sort of the low 200s. I think there's scope to go higher. They've actually swapped their private equity holders. Now, the biggest holder is a company called or a foundation called the Novo Foundation, which are a bunch of Danish individuals who are behind, if you're a global investor, you'll know the names Novo Nordisk in diabetes or Novozymes, which is actually in areas not dissimilar to Convatec and Smith & Nephew, both hugely successful companies. So they've actually got rid of private equity, got a sensible longer-term investor on board who really knows what they're doing in this space. And I think they're going to go from strength to strength. So for me, very interesting that this placing seemed to have got a lot of demand today at a very small discount to the share price. And it's now trading a small premium to the actual placing price that they put the shares out at.
Yeah, definitely. And it's towards the bottom end of their range. I mean, the 182 pound, now 223. So, you know, it's moving around those levels. So, cool. Morris, anything else, Chris?
Quick final one. If you've been banging around shares for a while, you've had to sort of do stuff with registrars and related, you'll undoubtedly know the name Equiniti. So the ticker there is EQN. This one again is not, it hasn't been on the market too long, but I think it does a lot of important stuff in not just sort of regulatory and registration related matters, but also areas such as fintech for companies. They have a massive blue chip client base of not just UK companies, but global companies. And the really interesting thing is on this share, they've had a little trading update today, which was perfectly fine. You know, everything in line, progressing as they hoped. They did a big acquisition last year of the sort of the equivalent division to what they do in the UK in the States from a company called Wells Fargo. Now, as you may know, Wells Fargo, big bank, has had a huge amount of trouble and problems in the States. It looked to sort of sharpen up its act by selling off a few non-core divisions, and that included its sort of registration and sort of a company services division, which Equiniti bought last year. I think that's a great coup, because the reality is Equiniti's client base, I've got some stats here, they've got 109 UK clients who've got actually US ADRs themselves. And so there's a natural synergy between these client bases. They can sort of extend the range of operations for their UK clients in the States. Plus, of course, they've got a bunch of US clients from the Wells Fargo purchase that they didn't, you know, previously have. So bottom line is, I think it's a company doing interesting stuff. It sort of flies a little bit below the radar, despite being a well-known name in financial circles. And I have to say, if you look at the stock, I think the 270s is a really interesting area to be thinking about picking up the shares. You know, there's a little dividend yield, a couple of percent or so. They've got good cash flow on the business, not particularly expensive. attractive sort of classic sort of mid-teens earnings valuation. Bottom line is, interesting company, doing an interesting acquisition last year, and I think that will kind of come through over the next year and help to push the shares up. So pleased to see the inline update today. Certainly one that I like prevailing.
Yeah, and I your chart is looking nice. It's had a good sort of 2017. You know, it went from £2 up to maybe 320. It topped out this to try to attack that place twice, 320, but it seems to have support at 275 ish. So maybe it's forming a new, maybe it'll consolidate here and try and re-attack that resistance at 320 again. But yeah, it's at the bottom of a range here after a nice rise up in 2017. So yeah, not looking looking decent, not overbought at all, not, you know, overheating. So the share's looking relaxed, comfortable, and ready to surge. If you
that's
think
right. Well, as always, you know, it depends on news flow, and the key for them is this acquisition in the States. I think that's the next leg, if you like. They've got a perfectly all right UK business, but always with investments, you need to think about what's coming up in the future. And, you know, you think about the stocks we talked about today, the sort of the whole medical product business is a big theme. And so that provides a bit of support. Something like this with Equiniti, it's all about the next deal that they've done or the deal they've just done, or what it might mean for them or what's not factored into the share price already. So, you know, that's what you're playing for really over the next year. So fingers crossed.
Marvellous stuff, Chris. Thanks for that. And we'll speak next week, fella.
That's the plan. See you soon.
Okay, time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, a metric worth paying attention to. If you see a company in this top five on a regular basis, it means a lot of people follow them for a reason, probably. So it's worth checking out that reason. And if it hasn't re-rated in any way, then definitely worth doing some research. All right, at five, 88 Energy, that's 88E. At four, Ascent Resources, AST. At three, Cora Gold, that's C-O-R-A. And I spoke to Hayden Locke, actually, business development manager at Cora yesterday, and describing their recent set of drill results in Mali, Gold Driller, and he was very impressed with them. Very interesting company, worth looking at. At two, Minotech Pharma, MTPH. Don't know why that's there. Don't know what the news is about that. Is it announcement receipts of NASDAQ notice? Who knows? And number one, Bahamas Petroleum, of course, flying today, over 100% up on that confidentiality and exclusivity agreement with a international oil major. Worth checking out. In fact, that's a good point. Companies that appear on this on a regular basis, right? Worth doing some research, especially, you know, researching on, especially if the share price hasn't flown, you know? Because there's got to be a reason why people are following them. Check into that reason, research it. And if the share price hasn't flown, it's worth evaluating the company. You know, I tend to chase some of a lot of the companies appear on this list. Their share price has risen strongly, and that's why people are following them. But if it hasn't risen strongly, worth doing some research. All right, top five most liked RNSs at five: Anglo African Oil and Gas Operational and Finance Update. At four: Incondesi Energy Project Update. At three: Eva Holdings. Oh, I love Ivar Holdings. You know Ivar Holdings, they do virtual reality. Oh, amazing. EVRH, I should say, successfully launches the Melody VR platform. At two, United Oil and Gas, Corallian Farmout Agreement, extension of option. That's that further 10% option on those three licenses, which they can get good. I think it's 13.33% it costs to farm into a further 10% of the three licenses. Of course, the Coulter well is one that they already have. Well, they already have 10%, but if they want to do a further 10%. And the Coulter well's coming up soon, I think Q3. And number one, most liked RNS was from Highlands Natural Resources, spudding of fifth well at East Denver. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT Weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.